Okay, turn with me to the book of Hebrews tonight. We are still kind of doing an introduction to the book of Hebrews. As you think about it, a lot of people, when they think of the book of the Hebrews, they think of Hebrews chapter 11, chapter of faith. And certainly that is a great chapter, but really, the book of Hebrews is a great book. It's unique in the Bible. The book that expounds upon and reveals the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in detail. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have the detail concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in heaven. No other book do we have the explanation of Jesus' blood and the necessity of his blood and the picture of his blood having to be taken to the Father in heaven to present it at the altar as the payment of our sin. Nowhere else in the book do we have, in the Bible, do we have the explanation of his mediatorial ministry. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have such a clear presentation of the fact that the Old Testament tabernacle was very clearly, specifically, a picture of the altar of God in heaven, and that the offerings of the Old Testament were a prediction and a shadow of Christ. All of these different things. It's a great book on our redemption. We'll just look at a couple verses. Hebrews chapter 1, talking about Christ and talking about the greatness of the fact that we have the truth. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What a great picture of the fact that it was the blood of Christ that was shed that purged us from our sins. We had a reference tonight of a preacher saying that you're saved, you're purged by the waters of baptism. How sad. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus that washes us, that purges us from our sins. I like that great verse, and I think it's Revelation 1:5, talks about Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, of course. Chapter 2, we have this great verse. Verse 9, about the incarnation of Christ. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, tasted death, experienced our death on Calvary's cross as he bore our sins. Of course, chapter 10, at great verses about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This man, after he offered one sacrifice, what sacrifice did he offer? Himself. Here we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not only the priest, the high priest who offers the sacrifice, He is the sacrifice Himself. And what a great book on salvation. And, you know, for your Catholic friends, a great book for them to read is the book of Romans. But another great book is the book of Hebrews. Because the center of the book of Hebrews is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in His redemption. And we see it not only of Him leaving heaven and taking on flesh and dying on the cross. We see Him ascending to the Father with the completed payment of our sin. And now seated there at the right hand of God, a salvation completed. And He interceding for the people of God. And He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God through Him. Amen. That's it. People need to, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous says, believe in a higher power. You know, that might help you with alcohol, but it won't get you to heaven. Because there's only one way to heaven. It's not through a higher power of your own mind. It's through the only one, Jesus Christ. And not only will He save you from the penalty of sins, but He, the Bible says, He will save you to the uttermost. He'll save you from the power of sin, the worst sin possible. He can save you from the hold of that on a person's life. And He will save you from the very infliction of sin on the human race and raise your body from the dead and give you a glorious body and live forever with the Lord. What a wonderful thing we have in the Lord Jesus. As we think of the book of Hebrews, of course, the question is, who wrote the book? Who wrote the book? This has been debated for a certain amount of time in centuries past. You get a little bit of insight into who wrote the book and the thoughts of men when you think about where it is placed in the Bible. It is placed, you could say it two different ways. It is placed amongst the epistles of the Apostle Paul. After Philemon, we have the epistle of Paul, starting with Romans all the way through Philemon, and then you have the book of Hebrews. And we have a little insight now as to the thoughts that, well, why would you put Hebrews here? Why not put it somewhere else? Well, and the placement of it is because of the thought that it probably could be, most likely was, an epistle of Paul, and you dare not put it somewhere else. But, again, the book of Hebrews does not have a author, or human author, mentioned. Okay? Now, we say a human author because the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so God moved human authors, 1 Peter 1:20, 2 Peter 1:20, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so holy men of God were moved, but the Scripture is the result is the God-breathed Scripture. The authors weren't inspired. They were moved by the Spirit of God. The result of what they wrote was as if God breathed it right onto the paper. That's what the word inspired means. It means breathe. God breathe. And so there was a human author. The people who read the book knew who it was. They knew who it was. They had no question about who it was. Verse 18 of chapter number 13. The author says, pray for us. Well, how could they pray for somebody when they don't know who they were praying for? Well, they knew who they were praying for because the author of Hebrews says, pray for us. Okay? And then it says, verse 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Pray for us that we can get back to be with you faster than otherwise. So they knew who they were praying for. They knew what they were praying for. And verse 22, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. So they knew who this I was that had written unto them. Verse 23, it says, you know ye that our brother Timothy has set it in their liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. And so the readers of Hebrews, they knew specifically who this person was that wrote it, even though his name is not given. Now, as we look at corroborating evidence, collaborating evidence, let's go to, first of all, who was Hebrews written to? Who was Hebrews written to? Jewish, professed Jewish believers. Okay? Do you know any other epistles written to Jewish believers? James, right? Who else? What else? There you are. I heard it. First and Second Peter, written to Jewish believers. Okay? First Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. These are Gentile nations. Okay, so he's not talking about Gentiles. He's talking about strangers among the Gentiles. And from a biblical perspective, there's two groups of people, right? Gentiles and what? Jews. And so he's talking about Jewish people scattered amongst the Gentiles. And 1 Peter is written to these people. 2 Peter, again is telling us that he is writing them a second time, 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. And so he is writing to Jewish believers. Now, when he is writing to Jewish believers, he says, in verse number 15, he says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And so Peter says that Paul wrote a letter to who? Jewish believers. Which one was it? Romans? 1 Corinthians? Thessalonians?
Philemon? Why are you laughing, Thomas? It wasn't Philemon. Okay. All right. So, now Peter is saying that Paul wrote to the same group of people that he was writing to. All right. And so that would appear that the book of Hebrews, the only other epistle written to Jewish believers, would have been written by Paul. But notice what it says, that it says in 16, it says, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, in which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And so notice that it's been for a long time people have been twisting the Bible to get away from the fact that they need to be saved. And but notice that phrase, hard to be understood. Now, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5, I think that's interesting that Peter would use this phrase, hard to be understood. And I think that you're getting the fact that I think that probably Paul was the author of Hebrews. But notice what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 5 and verse 10. Talking about Melchizedek, that Christ was called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is found in Genesis 14, and he appears, so to speak, out of the blue. I think that he was the pre-incarnate Christ. His name means, his two words, it's Melech, king, Zadik, king of righteousness. He's also called the king of Salem, which is the phrase king of peace. I think it's very likely that this was the pre-incarnate Christ. And but it says, he's talking about Melchizedek, verse 12, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And we see that phrase now repeated, that concept repeated in both places. Hard to be understood, hard to be uttered. And seems that there is a parallel here of thinking. It's interesting as you look at the book of Hebrews and the conclusion of the book of Hebrews, we find an interesting phrase. We find this phrase in verse 18 of Hebrews 13. It says, verse 18, for pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. And if you think about this, this too is a unique phrase of the Apostle Paul. You read the scriptures, the Apostle Paul said of his life that he lived in all good conscience. In Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1, we find that he uses that phrase, it was not well received. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And interesting phrase of the Apostle Paul. Now, we may not be able to get back to this. Might be a few weeks, but just let me give you a couple thoughts here. In these closing, we also have the phrase in verse 20, God of peace. And that is a typical phrase used by the Apostle Paul. Romans 15:33 and 16:20, 1 Corinthians 14:33, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In history, Clement of Alexandria, who lived between 150 and 215, said that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. There are others that possibility. Some say, well, maybe Timothy wrote it. Well, that couldn't happen because he said, the writer says, pray that I can come and Timothy can come too. And it would probably be the Timothy that we know of because it doesn't give any other introduction. Some say it would be Barnabas. And Barnabas was a go-between between Paul and the Jews in Acts chapter 9. But there is no even mention in anyone of any human writer at any time that Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews. No one ever mentioned him. One person has been mentioned in history. His name, they said, Origen said that Clement wrote it. Well, Clement himself said that Paul wrote it. So that seems kind of interesting. There are a couple question marks in Hebrews chapter 2. Paul talks about how that God bore them witness with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the word was confirmed unto us. Whereas in Galatians 2, 3, in Galatians chapter 2, Apostle Paul says that I didn't confer with any flesh and blood. And yet Hebrews 2 could easily be kind of like a generic phraseology. Some say Hebrews is not as bold as Paul normally is. And it says that Paul did not use the Septuagint translation, but Hebrews does use it almost exclusively. But we're not saying that there aren't any questions, but I would say that from the evidence of Scripture, which is the strongest evidence we can get, is 2 Peter gives the strongest evidence that Paul probably wrote this book. So you may want to, you need to know that. And of course, why wouldn't they use his name? Because last week we talked about the tension, didn't we? Talked about the tension in the early church, the tension between the Jews and the Gentiles, and how even when Paul went to Jerusalem, the tension that was around his name and his ministry, and because of that tension, and to take the focus off of him and put it upon the truth would be an awful good reason for Paul not to mention his name, so that the truth of Scripture could be given. And we could also be thinking of the fact that everywhere Paul went, it talks about how that he reasoned from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, and his great knowledge of the Old Testament, and certainly that comes through in the book of Hebrews. All right, well, you say, well, what's our invitation on tonight? Well, we aren't going to give an invitation on who the author of Hebrews was, but we did talk enough about salvation. I wonder, do you know Christ as your Savior? And do you remember the theme of the book of Hebrews? Therefore, let us go unto him outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of being different. Don't be ashamed of knowing Christ and being saved. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you don't partake of all the sins of this rotten, filthy world. Don't be ashamed of that. We have a wonderful Savior. He saved us from all of that. And if you know Christ, then you are going to have to go outside the camp, because this world is no friend of grace. This world is no friend of Jesus Christ. This world put Jesus on the cross. Of course, we were a part of that world. And so let's not be ashamed of being holy. Let's not be ashamed of witnessing. Let's not be ashamed of boldly giving out the gospel. This world has no hope. The world has nothing. They need Jesus Christ. And there is no religion that saves a soul. Only Jesus Christ saves people. And all the religion in the world will never make a person a child of God. People need to be born again. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for the opportunity to study these important truths. And pray that, Lord, we would consider and remember the great truths of the book of Hebrews, and that, Lord, it will cause us to solidified in our faith and our walk and our confidence and our fleeing to the Savior and living for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.